Good morning. My name is Vicki, and I'm a member of CEA Howe and your workshop facilitator for this session. And I have a sheet here if anybody wants to share. And this will be an interactive workshop. If anybody wants to share, you can sign this sheet of giving permission that other people can hear it when it's on the website. So I've been in one or another food step program for in excess of 30 years plus, and I have 3 years of current Howe abstinence, and I came in to Howe. I don't know how I just morphed into Howe from another food program because there was controversy, and actually it just, I stayed with another program, and then I met up with my current partner of 13 years. And he was in Howe. He has 17 years of abstinence. And here I am. And I wanted to be of service today, so I'm going to conduct this workshop. It's not rocket science. We're going to talk about the 7 tools of CEA Howe, which I resisted for a long, long time. And I finally heard, I read many times in the big book, to resign from the debating committee. We resign from the debating committee. So whether I thought it was right or wrong, I just resigned from the debating committee and started doing the deal, and that's the way it works. And the first tool of the 7 tools is the CEA Howe food plan. This is where we find the food plan, in the pamphlet Forever Abstinence. Gives a lot more information besides what we can eat and how much we can eat of it. And it talks about no sugar or flour, not white flour, but flour in general. Flour goes into our bloodstream very quickly because it's sort of digested halfway by the fact that it's so pulverized and processed. So we like our blood sugar to stay constant. And also the quantities. And I know my sponsor is not the authority. The book is the authority. And if somebody I sponsor asks me, well, can I have this? But can I have that? I say, check the book. I'm not the authority. If it's in the book, in the quantity that it's in the book, you can sure have it. And I don't know if all of you heard the speaker last night, but he has said it doesn't have to be healthy. It doesn't have to be tasty. It just has to be written in the book. And if it's not written in the book, it's not part of our program. Unless, of course, you have a doctor's permission. And I have to refer all the time to the book. If you'd like to see it afterwards, I'll be happy to pass it around. I can read what this says. Abstinence, CEA Howe Abstinence Food Plan. 3 meals daily, weighed and measured. Nothing in between except sugar-free soda, no calorie beverages, and sugar-free gum. Food is written down. That's on a notebook like this. This is a notebook. To write it down, and then you can refer back to what you've committed, because it's all about commitment. It's all about being rigorous as far as losing weight, at least for me it is. And this is what's not suggested. It is a requirement for CEA Howe abstinence. Food is three meals a day, weighed and measured, with nothing in between except sugar-free soda. No calorie beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called in, and committed so we can get out, so we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. It is recommended that you obtain your physician's or healthcare professional approval before beginning your abstinence using the CEAHAL food plan. Any recommendations your physician or healthcare professional makes will be accepted. If anybody has anything to say about this particular tool, please, in the middle of what I'm saying, say it. Raise your hand, come up, do whatever you have to do or want to do. And because this is an interactive, something that worked for you or something that didn't work for you. And these are measuring spoons. We weigh and measure with utensils specifically for that, not something out of our silverware drawer, because those are not constant, and those are not, regular. They tend to vary. This is a tablespoon and a half one, and whatever kind you have, as long as it's official. I get compulsive obsessive too. I go from one to the other to see if they match. In my house, we have two scales, so his and hers. All of this together, when you're ready to start your program, can be a little bit pricey, maybe $50. But as long as we're going to use it one day at a time for the rest of our lives, well, it comes out not even pennies a day. And what was it? Oh, when I read the book, because I reviewed the book when I knew that I was going to participate and do service. And it said in there, the 301 plan. Does anybody know what the 301 plan is?
3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time.
CEAHAL food plan. This, I tell you, this book is heavy, and I would read it over and over and over because I forget. Would you kindly, with two pieces of scotch tape, can you take this particular tool to the rug on the wall there? The second tool is literature and writing. What does this that we read all the time say? Literature and writing. We use Alcoholics Anonymous, the big book, and AA's 12 steps and 12 traditions as tools of examination and release. Our writing assignments for the first 30 days are taken from them. When we substitute the words compulsive eater for alcoholic and food for alcohol, we feel we identify absolutely. And I do. I do identify absolutely. And I know that compulsive eating is an addiction. It is not a bad habit. And what they say about addiction is that addiction is like dancing with a gorilla. You're not finished till the gorilla is. But we have tools. One of them is literature and writing. And in order to get an addiction under control, at least for me, I have to focus a lot on my addiction. And I have to make it the center of my life. Now, I've heard others say that, oh, I don't want to live my life for the program. I just want to do the program, but I want to do this, and this. Well, for me, I had to focus. I had to go to more than three meetings a week. and to get this monster under control. And it's still sometimes...
Hi, I'm Irish Compulsive Eater, and I'm so thankful for the tool of writing. It's my favorite tool, I think, and I use it every day, but one of the things that just struck me here is I've had sponsees say, why do I have to keep writing on questions? Because it just says for the first 30 days, our writing assignments for the first 30 days are taken from them. And I say, oh, no, there's more writing, you know. So we are blessed that we have so much, so many resources that we can use to write questions from. And this last few days at the conference, there were more booklets approved. So we will be coming out with, there is, I hope you all got a chance to get or at least see there's a new sponsor book that's available, and that's a resource, and it's the compilation of all the articles off the website on sponsorship. And those articles are not going to be removed from the website, so people will still have access to them. So we will have questions now to write on those. And then they also approved a set of Big Book questions, and the stories in the fourth edition of the Big Book that aren't covered by the Pioneer Edition questions. And when they all get printed, it's over 800 and some questions. So we will have a lot more to be able to use. So I tell sponsees, no, you're not done after 30 days of writing. There's more. More will be revealed.
You know, food is, was my best friend. And I liked it, but it didn't like me. These questions are from the sponsor side, and plus the inventory questions, and I think slip questions. I'm now on and still sees it, and we use AA literature, and it seems that Bill, as Bill sees it, there's only one little page of reading. I'm not much of a reader, so I love this. And then there's three questions for each page, and more questions, and more questions. I don't know how many books I counted there, but there's a lot of books to buy, and you can keep on writing. And when sometimes I can't do a question, if I'm out somewhere, then I write a gratitude list that I call my sponsor every night, and if she's not in, I leave my food, and I save the question and read her to the next day, or the next day after that. But I always call in my food. And,
Linda Compulsive Reader, there is a literature committee so that accepts submissions of questions. So, and I don't always know where they come. I'm on that committee, and I don't know always where they come from. There was a sponsorship committee that had written or edited the book, and they presented us with the questions. So I put it out there to all of you, if you see the need for a certain set of questions or certain piece of literature that you'd like questions made, be sure and let World Service know and the Literature Committee.
That's wonderful. Yes.
Hi, I'm Pam, Compulsive Eater from Santa Fe, New Mexico. My question is, okay, so I'm up to the eighth step. And do I work that step just by doing the questions in the, what is it, step 6 through 12? Is that sufficient?
But there are questions, and so you write the questions, or you work with your sponsor, because everybody's experience is a little bit different, or you ask various people and do and okay it with your sponsor and work through that with your sponsor.
I'm Carol from Lakewood. I have a medical question. Who do you go to if you're a diabetic and you're having problems and your doctor doesn't know about the program? You know, because here I'm taking my medication and me being good and on the program, I'm in a lot of pain with my blood sugars going low.
Hi, I'm Susan, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm a diabetic. When I started on this program, I was taking, it seemed like, it was a huge amount. I was taking 65 units of long-acting insulin twice a day, and 30 units of short-acting insulin with every meal, and my sugar levels would still not come down. Okay, so I have an endocrinologist, and they know how the medicine works with your body. They prescribe a certain amount of medicine, but if your sugar levels start coming down, then you need to decrease the amount of insulin you take, and you need to be in constant contact with your doctor. As your sugar levels go down, your need for insulin will go down. Okay, and the quicker you can get the insulin down, the better. I am now taking 10 units of long-acting insulin twice a day and only 4 units of short-acting insulin once a day. Okay, I went that fast, and it only took about 2 weeks. The other thing was I was having an extreme amount of pain in my joints, and it was about 3 days when the pain in my hips went away, and I do believe that that's because of the inflammation that was caused because of the sugar and flour. Because it wasn't the weight, because the weight hadn't come off yet. It was the sugar and flour that was just really inflaming anything that can be inflamed in my body. And it causes pain. It causes physical pain as well as the emotional and spiritual pain that we get from being cut off from the higher power, you know. And so the steps will help us to maintain, to get abstinent and to maintain abstinence, but you need to see a doctor and a dietitian. When I went to my doctor, and I had lost like 13 pounds when I went to see her, and she said, "Did you know you had lost 13 pounds?" And I said, "Well, I knew I'd lost something but I don't weigh myself at home. I do get on the scale at the doctor's because they calculate using your weight of how much insulin you need. But you don't need to be afraid of taking less insulin. One of the things that I didn't want to do was to take so much insulin that I had to eat more food than the program allowed. Because the food program is designed for helping us to lose weight. And certainly our weight is a huge portion of getting healthy. But also it's the food. You can lose weight on any kind of a program. But, you know, being able to keep it off and having the support system that we have here is what is really, really important to me. So it's constant. You know, I call my doctor, you know, after hours. And you know, if your sponsor is a diabetic, that's what the first meeting this lady identified as a diabetic, a compulsive eater and a diabetic. And so I asked her to be my sponsor. And she's the one who said, constant communication with your doctor. And also, my doctor also sent me to the dietitian. Okay. And they did not give me any extra food. They did not say, you know, they didn't really adjust the amount. The only thing my doctor said was, I have to eat 6 meals a day. So I took the 3 meals a day and I just divide them in half. It doesn't require any extra brains. Okay. Does that help? Yeah. So, you know, get an endocrinologist. And usually my endocrinologist has a dietitian attached to her office, okay? Thanks. And if you have insurance, that's a really good thing.
Yes.
But an endocrinologist, I found, I did have a visit to the endocrinologist, and I found it very helpful because that is their specialty. And, of course, as you lose weight, your insulin will have to be adjusted many times. And some people are able to get off insulin. I do test every morning, and usually my blood sugar runs under 100 in the morning. So that's great. I'm jazzed. Next one is anonymity. And I was going to have anonymity and put nothing there, because basically that's what we are looking for, is to be nothing, to be anonymous, to be one person amongst all the people, and not to practice Pichotism. And anonymity also has to do with what you see here, let it stay here, so we can speak our mind and talk about things that you wouldn't talk about ordinarily. And of course, we don't mention that anybody is a compulsive eater outside of the level of press, radio, and TV. And we don't tout ourselves as authorities, just in case we should happen to slip. And somebody says, aha, look at you, you see, it didn't work. So, does anybody want to comment on anonymity?
Linda, compulsive eater. I just wanted to mention that I'm learning a little bit more about anonymity, being in intergroup and as a delegate, because one of our traditions is that we are here to help others. We are here to help the suffering compulsive eater. And how do we do that if we remain silent, completely silent? And so we're learning from the tradition of AA about public information. And this particular conference, we had a forum and a presentation by about 5 people on how to grow CHOW, because we're shrinking. So I want to get the word out there that you might want to investigate that particular link on the website and find simple ways that you as an individual can help spread the message of CHOW that is still anonymous, but face-to-face, we do not need to be anonymous. There are, my favorite story was, I don't know whether you in Los Angeles, I have gone south and seen huge billboards that say lap band surgery, one right after the other. And this was even a company that I think was sued because there were deaths involved. And they were still allowed those billboards. Someone in CHOW at some point in our history had a billboard up with our number on it, with a big stop sign, stop eating compulsively, and then a CHOW.org number. It was so exciting to me that that kind of message should be out there and available. Another suggestion is, if you know anybody who's literate on computers, when you Google can't stop eating, OA comes up right at the top. It'd be nice if CHOW were available up there too, but I don't know how to do that. Somebody might. And another thing, and so thank you very much.
I'm an animal compulsive eater, and I am very firm on anonymity. I have seen anonymity broken in the rooms, I have seen it broken out of the rooms, and I have seen damage that it has done. And I have seen people leave this program because their anonymity was broken. And it's so important, because people come in here and they get down to their gut. And when you get down there, you don't want other people to know. And to have the ability to know that it will go nowhere, and that they will love you no matter where you are, no matter what you say, and no matter how you act, that is a gift. And we will lose that gift in this program if we don't practice anonymity in all our affairs, because we carry it out as well as keeping it in the rooms. Thanks for letting me share.
Anonymity. It says, who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. When we meet another member in outside world, we do not mention that they are members of CEA HOW. And there is also a section in the 12 and 12. I think there is an index in the back on anonymity which also says we are anonymous with one another. We don't practice big shotism. We don't get promotions here. We're just one amongst many, and we're all, I may have 3 years, somebody else may have 6 years or 17 years, but we're all just one day away from the next compulsive bite. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question about how would you break anonymity within the group?
I never thought of that, but I could say, oh, yeah, I came over to where you are at your store, and I don't know.
I can say this because I've spoken to the person this happened to. She was in the process of divorcing her husband, who was in another 12-step program. And someone in the room heard what she said and told the barber, and the barber told her husband. And that's how it happened. So you do not break it to anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. It is so vital for our program. Okay, now also, if while I'm here, I failed to mention that I'm working on a retreat in Catalina for our group. And in the process, I have gone through World Service to make sure of how to do it so that I don't do it incorrectly. Because we have been told that we can put an announcement in the paper on the island so that anyone on the island that is interested in a program to control their weight, to gain, lose, maintain, they don't have that on the island at this time. And we want them to know that they're welcome to join us. But we cannot, under any circumstances, say, This is who's in authority. This is the one that is important. We can put a number in there if you have questions. So it can go down as a question to this person, but that doesn't make that person the authority of our program. And it has to have a name in order for them to really know who they're calling. So there are ways to get the word out, but we do stay anonymous. Thanks.
The next tool is phone calls. And the book says, telephone calls. We are required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 to other CEA HOW members. The phone is like a lifeline. We need the contact. It can be like a mini meeting. I advocate calling at least one new person every day. And I've called people off the phone list, and they say, oh, I don't need HOW anymore. I seem to have recovered. And isn't that the goal, that we recover, and then we stay to give back what was so freely given to us? Nobody here is getting paid for anything that they're doing, plus all the people who participate also have to pay for their meals and their hotel and everything else. And this, by the way, is the dreaded phone. You know, doesn't bite, doesn't itch. It's just a phone. I know for myself, my problem is with food and with cravings and being hungry or getting in a position where I can't eat on time. And I have no problem calling the phone or somebody calls me thinking, oh, hello, how are you? What's new? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, for some reason, I hear all the time, and for myself as well, I have problems picking up and just intentionally calling and saying, this is an outreach call. For me, I don't consider if somebody calls me on the program that's an outreach call just because I talked to somebody. I have to have intention to make an outreach call. And that is working my program, because by now, after years and years and years in a program, not always abstinent, I know quite a number of people in CHOW. So my phone does ring occasionally, and this is not for me an outreach call. And I don't think that the book delineates whether or not, if you get an answer machine, if that's considered a call. Does anybody have any insight on that or care to say anything about that? Uh-huh. You want to say that into the to the mic?
I think she was saying that her sponsor said that it didn't count if she got the call back. Not that it had to just be a live call, but that she had actually initiated the call and the person had to pick up. But to me, the only problem, I mean, it seems short-sighted because a lot of times people are calling you because they're returning your calls. I try to make it a rule that if I can't actually reach 3 people live, like I've called, say, 10 or 15 people, I just leave a very long message saying whatever's going on. So at least I'm processing through whatever is happening for me. Diana, and I'm a compulsive eater.
I'm Sage, compulsive eater. I think, you know, if I can make my 3 calls, I feel very proud of myself, even if I'm not reaching somebody. I think it's better to reach somebody, but I give myself that credit, even, and I do try and just say, you know, something more than, hello, this is my name, and I try and do something that's related to my program, whether it's, you know, using some of the tools or some of the steps or what's going on for me or something that may be positive. I have the intention of trying to get in touch with somebody because I think that that does help with the isolation. But if I give it a good shot and I don't get to other calls, I feel like I've done my program.
I'm Susan, I'm a compulsive eater. I work full time, I have a family, I have a life, and I make the calls. If nobody answers, I'm okay with that, because as far as I'm concerned, it's the process of picking up the phone and dialing the number. I think that that is so important that we know how to do that, because just talking to an answering machine, it's for me. And I say stuff that I need to hear, you know, and it's like, and then when your ass is falling off, you know that you can pick up the phone and call somebody.
Practice.
Here we go. Now we started a little robust conversation.
Yeah, Carol from Lakewood. I have a question, though. When you call and get an answering machine and you've left your message, do you leave your phone number for them to still call you back? Always? Okay.
You know, I think it's not perfect. We try and leave our phone numbers, but occasionally we'll forget. And sometimes I call someone and they say, I haven't been to a meeting in 2 years, but I'm so glad you called to remind me. And then you see them showing up at meetings. And it's serendipitous sometimes. You never know who needed that phone call besides yourself who made it. And it's just like the phone ringing serendipitously. You never, never know what's going to happen. And if somebody doesn't leave their phone number once in a while, or if you don't get somebody, it's 3 meals a day. Nothing in between, and 1 day at a time. If you don't reach someone today, you'll reach them tomorrow. And, you know, it's, we don't have to be rigid. Some of us are born that way. You know, as I say, this is an addiction. And in order to beat an addiction, it's not a bad habit. You have to make it your life and fit your life into your program. For me, I have to do this or else I am not successful. Please.
I'm Pam, compulsive eater. Well, I'm here because I'm trying. I'm not trying to get myself to make the phone calls. I'm here because this is my first step in making all my phone calls. I am not having such trouble with the food. I have a pretty clean abstinence. It's been over a year, although I tried a 5-minute experiment that proved I was indeed still a compulsive eater at 10 months, so now I just have 3 months. And this is like sort of a conceited thing, but I do good things for people when I have to talk on the phone to do it. And I'm doing that good, and I'm not isolated. I don't really need those phone calls so much. But I don't want to give up the possibility of having more spiritual growth. And I just think, what does a phone call mean? Nothing. I mean, it takes 2 minutes, it can. And I don't want to miss the opportunity for a deeper spiritual growth. And I talked to this one guy, and this really made sense to me, because I had this thing about, I'm not that bad. I'll probably go out in a year, because I'm probably, I think I can handle this. And he said, here's the thing, if you do all the tools perfectly, then you can say, I'm going to try this all the way. And then if I'm not growing spiritually, I don't have to do it, or I can go out. And I really like that. He said, that's what I do, but I've been growing spiritually all the time. And the more I do all those tools, the more I grow. So I just don't want to miss out on that possibility.
Yes, Linda. The phone list to my meetings we have, whether you're an F or an FI or an FS or a FISM, and with some of my sponsees who were really hesitant to reach out, I said, look up the FISMs. I know they'll have something that they can pass on to you. And then I also mentioned that you have some recovery. So call the Fs. Call the people that don't have anything by their name, because you have something you can pass on.
That's great. That's true. And FISM, I just say I sponsor the whole business. And that's it. Or for a long, long time I was a fee. And sometimes then you become a FIS. And then a FISM. Here we go. Oh, and the next one is meetings. Meetings. We must attend 3 meetings a week. Those members who have at least 30 days of continuous CEA how abstinence may pitch. Those members who have at least 7 days of continuous CEA how abstinence may pitch if their pitching has been discussed with their sponsor. And, you know, for me, I need many times, even after all of this time, I need more than 3 meetings. And luckily, thank God, we have the phone bridge. So, we have many, many meetings that we can go to, both in the evening and in the morning. And what am I doing holding up this? Well, this is the 7 tool, and I've left one on everybody's seat, and there's more in the back of the group, and you can take as many as you want. And put it on every wall in your house if you need to. So meetings are very important, and I find for me that every meeting is sacred. We open every meeting by acknowledging that there is one ultimate authority, a loving God, as God may express God's self in the group conscience, and we close it with a prayer. So everything in between is for me sanctified, and no matter what's going on, I find peace in the meetings. And would anybody like, is there any sharing?
I'm with Tisha from Monrovia near Arcadia. Hi. And meetings, I have like a double feeling about, you know, I hate getting there, but once I'm there, you know, and we all say that, I mean, so many people say it, and because I've had some struggles with my spirituality, I feel like the meetings are church for me. And that's my home church, and I grew up in church, so meetings are, for me, my community church. And so I started wondering, well, gosh, are the meetings my higher power, too? And some days they are. And I don't live real close to some meetings, but I'm grateful for the ones that are there. And I get to know people because I like to isolate. And then I like to cry. I don't want to go to the meeting because I'm crying. I don't want to go to the meeting because I don't want to talk. I don't want to go to the meeting because it's boring. I don't want to go to the meeting because I'm tired. I don't want to be at the meeting because I have a resentment because they won't let me bring my dog. I don't want to go to the meeting because, I mean, you know, but I still get there because it's my church for me. And I'm glad when I'm gone, I'm glad when I can get home, and it's over. But I do go to the meeting.
All right, the next tool is service. And service is very important. It is important to everyone, I believe, and especially to me. I don't really like to tell people what to do, although I often flip and do that. I got this at the 99-cent store, this carry-on bag. It says, grow where you are planted. And I'm now mostly in retirement, and I'm wondering what to do with myself. I wake up and I say, good morning, walls. You know, what are we going to do today? Well, who will I volunteer? What will I do? You know, I want to be of service. I want to do something. And then I look at this sack that I got at the 99-cent store. And it says, grow where you are planted. Well, I've been running my mouth here about you have to make the program, or I have to make the program, the center of my life, or my addiction gets the best of me. And keep the gorilla in a cage, so to speak. And I am planted here. This is my program. I followed my boyfriend into this particular food program, and this is where I'm planted. This is where I've been going. This is what I've known for the last however many years it was since I was at a meeting and we were fighting with the Treasury when we split up from another 12-step food program. Who's going to have the Treasury, this one or that one? Really funny. It was bizarre, but I'm going to grow where I am planted. That's why I'm doing this workshop. And I really thank you all for your indulgence, because I'm trying to be of service. And service is, somebody I ran into said, you know, it's been a lot of years. She has like 15, 16 years of abstinence, and she says, I still have problems coming on time to the meetings. Well, okay, and being quiet when a person is sharing. Personally, I think when people are texting in their purses, they put their phone in the purse and go like this and like this and like this. And if I'm speaking, it aggravates me. Well, God help me with to accept the things I cannot change. It seems like it's a fact of life nowadays. But instead, service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. Service is coming to meetings on time, being a leader or speaker, volunteering to be a service person, such as a program person, chair person, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative, etc. That's a big word. Three letters, but it's a big word, the etc. Just being here. You're You guys are so much service to me. You have no idea. I expected to have a workshop with two people. And I told my, because of the time, and I told my sponsors, it's two people, they'll get the whole business regardless. Okay, service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CEA Howe continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CEA Howe, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage itself. Does anybody want to say anything about service?
Hi, my name is Beverly. I'm from Southern California. I've been in this program since it originated. 38 years, 34. I don't know. I do know that without service, I wouldn't be here today. Unless I have a reason for being, for helping others, and I pray daily that my service won't hinder anybody in their program, and if I can't be of any help, then I just usually listen and say, you know, I think maybe that's something you need to discuss with whoever I think they need to discuss it with. Because, as I've been told, there's nothing I can't talk about and talk about and talk about. So I have to really be very careful when I'm being serviced in that way. But one of the things that I found peculiar, and maybe you can help me about that, have any of your sponsors ever had anybody with less than 7 days of being in the program ask you if they can speak at a meeting? Or is it up to us to say, you need to speak at a meeting? If you have 7 days of absence, you are allowed to speak. But if you don't, if you have the less than 7 days, then you can ask your sponsor. And if it's okay with her, she can okay or him.
The way I understand it is, you may speak if you have 7 days of abstinence, if you have discussed it first with your sponsor.
Linda, compulsive eater. But I think it's important for us to acknowledge our program and the way it's written. And for me, in my experience, having 7 days of abstinence is mind-blowing. I mean, it's a miracle. And very often you'll hear it in the shares. And so I kind of, my own personality, cringe when people want to share who I see as not having been abstinent or doing a lot of this, you know, up and down stuff, that their recovery, I just want them to get our program. I guess it's selfish. Anyway.
That's my contribution. I'm Ian, compulsive eater. I understand the 7 days of abstinence because your head gets clear, and it is a requirement to discuss it with your sponsor. What I usually do as a sponsor is at the end of 7 days, I tell my sponsees, that's great, now you're able to share in meetings, and give them the permission to do that. It's also been discussed as far as opening or closing a meeting so that everyone can share. And they suggest that we do the literature, we do readings, we have second chairs, and at the very end of the meeting, then close it and allow the others to share, and those who wish to leave can. I also realize that every meeting is autonomous. So I would think that it would be more of a group decision as long as it doesn't affect CEHOW as a whole. It's best if you can keep the meeting open for the length of time that it's scheduled and then close the meeting and let the people share afterwards that don't have the abstinence. And that way they will hear our program. And they will get the full hour or hour and a half, whatever time you have for your meeting, and then be willing to listen to them and what they have to say. Thanks so much.
Okay, I'm Pam, compulsive eater. In our meeting, we have had real conflict about this. There's one very strict woman who has a terrible time with abstinence and is slipping all the time, but wants it strict because she wants this strong program to help her. And then we have a gal who's very active and gives lots of service and is kind of sloppy about it all. Oh, we should, and very big-hearted, we should all share, and oh, we'll close it early. So then we have a new member who's by the book, and very smart, and this has helped a lot, because she emailed us all a thing from CHAL saying, what about this very issue? You know, we want to close the meeting early so that the newcomers, you know, can share. And anyway, since each group is autonomous, can't we do this? So WSO, letter from them, no, this affects all meetings, because if you do it, but you can't be on the CHAL website, it cannot be an official CHAL meeting. If you do that, you can get stuff from WSO. So we had a new meeting that big-hearted sort of whatever person was leading. And so I knew this, you know, at least I didn't write the letter and go to WSO about it. I wouldn't have done that. But I did say, oh, we had this letter. I guess at our next business meeting, we should decide what to do. So at our next business meeting, everybody had a copy. And I should have acted like, oh, well, too bad. But, and then we had to vote. And it's pretty hard to vote when you're just looking at this. Then you can't call it a CHAL meeting. And even this big-hearted, yeah, okay. So that's what we do. But that, I'm so glad that got handled. And that went well. So,
I'm Sage, compulsive eater. I would like to just speak a little bit about service, because I've been working with trying to work the program in a stronger way. And what I'm finding with service, which means for me, you know, asking somebody if they need help, somebody needed to bring something over to the conference and they couldn't, I mean, I'm just making myself really available for service. And what that's doing is it's helping other people, but it's also helping me. And I'm finding when I'm getting squirrely in the middle of the day and I want to eat, that I'm switching it to being of service. And when I can get out of myself to be of service, I feel great. You know, there's some unraveling of the mystery of self-centeredness. Because when I'm brooding about my own issues, or when I'm anxious about something that's happening, I never looked at it as self-centeredness, but it is. But when I can get out of that into being of service to somebody else or being of service to the program, I am free from the bondage of self. And that's been a real gift. So I think it's a very important point about service. I just want to say one more thing about rules, because it's been hard for me with the rules. I'm not a rule person, but it's been helpful to me. I was leading a meeting recently, and there was an absence requirement of 30 days in order to share like a 10-minute kind of a thing at one of the meetings. And my sponsor happened to be in the room and said to somebody else in the room, she doesn't have 30 days yet. And as a result of that, somebody else had to speak. Another time, I would be in my rebellion about it. But the person who finally did share really spoke from so much more recovery than I could have shared, that I was seeing the value of some of the rules that I used to rebel against. So it's been wonderful to share and be part of this journey of surrender.
Thank you. I don't like to say my meeting, and I don't like to say I'm the leader. Oh, thank you. And I say when I share that, hi, I'm Vicki, and I bring the book, because we read from a book. And I have brought the books now for a couple of years. And periodically I say, if there's anybody who please would like to take over, let me know. Nobody has come forth. And we do have quite a few people who do service, there is a timer, there is a treasurer, and there are many times when the timer or the treasurer or a literature person does not show up and not call me. I believe that this is a one way of doing service, and it's very difficult, in my experience, to have people really vie for commitments or willing to take on commitments at a meeting where a time constraint is concerned, and to keep the commitments or let somebody know when they're not showing up. It happens to work out pretty good anyhow. And so it is what it is. I also, as I stated before, had to come to accept that this is the way it is, and whatever it is, it's going to be. And I have problems also with the 7-day rule, because I believe it's a miracle to have one day. It's just one day at a time. However, when you have 7 days, it doesn't make me an authority. It doesn't make anybody an authority. So, and I often need to hear what the newcomers are going through. And so I can relate. And sometimes they say very profound things that I really need to hear. And they save me many times. And somebody else wants to share. Here we go.
My name is Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And today is day 67 for me, okay? And, okay. But what I wanted to say is that I took that to heart, the 7-day rule. And because I came here, a lot of us come here from another 12-step program. And a lot of times we're full of ourselves, you know. And the truth of the matter is that when somebody stands up to talk, you can just about tell. I mean, I have had personal experience when somebody stands up to talk and I'm just going, that person is not abstinent. And you know it because they're spreading the mess instead of the message, you know. And I don't want to be a part of spreading the mess. But when I turned 7 days and I was in this conversation with my sponsor and I was telling her how my hips had quit hurting and I was telling her all these positive things, and she says, you may share that at the meeting, you know. And every time until I was 30 days, she said, she discussed what I was going to share at the meeting too, you know. But she said, are you going to this meeting? She goes, well, you can share this, you know. And I thought that was just really helpful, you know. And it's another part of that structure that for me is just so, so helpful, you know. And really, and I just, thanks.
Pam, compulsive eater. Well, I just think if you don't have 7 days and you can't stop putting stuff in your mouth, we are impulsive people. And it means you're going to say impulsive things that are not necessarily wise or recovered. And one gal who's real strict about the meeting and has a hard time with that since a long time. She's been in the program, lost a lot of weight. But she said, I was kidding, you know, later when she could share after her 7 days were out, she said, and last meeting I wanted to share so bad, but every time I wanted to share, I looked at what I wanted to say, and it was all unabstinent, impulsive stuff. And the only other thing I want to say about leading the meeting for several years is that I was very lucky when I first got 30 days, suddenly everybody in the group picked flip. They said, oh, can you be leading the meeting? So I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I led the meetings for months. And then new gal comes up 30 days. And we said, or I said, or somebody where I couldn't be there, can you lead the meeting? And she's doing it now. I think in a so much stronger group, if it's not who wants to take over, but it's more, I can't leave this meeting anymore. It's been too long, and who's going to step up? And don't lead it. Because anybody who has 30 days can lead it, and it'll make a stronger meeting. And this happens a lot in 12-step programs, you know, and you're doing a wonderful job and trying to be responsible. But we don't want to be too responsible, because that's how we have a strong group with everybody stepping up. And if they don't show up to treasure, what happens in our group a lot, but we get on, you know. And if somebody doesn't, if you don't show up, try that. Say, I can't lead the next meeting, and who would like to do it, because I won't be here. Do that. Stay away a couple of weeks. Let them do it. Anyway, they will. Somebody will do it. And if you don't have 30 days, the person with the most recovery steps up. You mention that before you play hooky.
Hi. Well, I have occasionally not been able to show up, and somebody has stepped up for that. And one time they forgot to come. But fortunately, somebody had one book and managed. Sponsorship is, we have a book, and it's all about sponsorship. Here we go. And sponsorship, I think, is twofold, either being a sponsor or getting a sponsor. And let me read what it says so I can finish. And thank you, Linda, for helping me and letting me know. Oh, my goodness, here. Sponsorship. A sponsor is a compulsive eater who, thank God, has 30 days of back-to-back CEHOW abstinence. A sponsor will help you work through the 12 steps. Everyone in CEHOW is sponsored according to the same guidelines. Sponsors must have 30 days of abstinence, have completed 30 days of questions, and have taken the first three steps. Sponsor helps a person. It is very helpful if your sponsor is there to take your call. Very helpful if you call your sponsor, because your sponsor is giving their time. And it's, you know, it's rather rude to not call when the sponsor has allocated that time for you and is expecting your time. Well, unfortunately or fortunately, there is no more time for questions, but this workshop is completed, and I thank you all for coming. It's been a pleasure.